A Pod Forte Podcast.
The next CMO podcast explores topics that are on the minds of forward-thinking marketing executives, from leadership and strategy to emerging technologies. And we bring these topics to life by interviewing leading experts in their fields. The next CMO is sponsored by Plana, makers of the world's first AI-based marketing leadership platform, and hosted by me, Peter Mahoney, the founder and CEO of Plana, along with my co-host, Kelsey Kraft. In this episode of the Next CMO podcast, Kelsey and I speak to Jennifer Davis, the Chief Marketing and Communications Officer at Learfield. Learfield is an innovative company that is your connection to college sports and live events. They have access to over 150 million loyal and passionate fans all across the U.S. via programs that include sponsorship, ticketing, licensing, and much, much more. Before she joined Learfield, Jennifer served as the head of product marketing for a division of Amazon Web Services. And before then, she was the CMO for Honeywell's smart buildings and home businesses. We speak to Jennifer about how college athletics have adapted to the pandemic, how the new NCAA rules changed the game for sponsoring college athletes, and how Jennifer looks at the future of marketing through the incredibly powerful brand relationships that are created through college sports programs. I hope you enjoy the show.
Well, thank you so much for joining the Next CMO podcast, Jennifer. We're super excited to have you on the show. I'd love to learn a little bit more about you and what you do at Learfield.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for having me. My name is Jennifer Davis, and after spending a chock full career in high tech and digital marketing, leading marketing organizations for the likes of Honeywell and Intel and Amazon Web Services, I have taken a little pivot in my career to be the CMO of Learfield. Learfield is a media data technology company in collegiate athletics. So we have exclusive relationships with schools all over the country, and our job is to connect brands, brand clients, brand marketers to those fans of those schools. And it's a pretty exciting place to be, as you might imagine.
That's incredible. And I'd love to understand the motivation for that change. You must have had some connection to athletics at some level. So what was that? What drove you to take this big leap from working for brands directly to getting into this world of college athletics?
Well, I've certainly been a fan for a while. Our household often has sports on, either audio broadcast, the TV's on, or we're talking about it or reading about it. I would say that certainly piqued my interest. But it was actually my perspective as a marketer and a business leader that really made Learfield and this role and our company very attractive to me. And that is the college sports fan. I would put that audience up against any customer segment in the world for loyalty, avid enthusiasm about their teams, multi-generational, evangelism of that fandom. And when I think about how much brands in the marketplace, particularly consumer brands, influence me as an individual, and I think about the marketers that are behind those brands wanting to build loyalty with me, I cannot think of a better audience than college sports fans in order to make that connection in a meaningful way. So it was really not only myself as a fan, but the broader audience of college sports fans that really attracted me to this space.
I like the idea of this multi-generational thing because it's so true. I think we've all experienced it, and I'm a graduate of Boston College, and I live a stone's throw from campus still after all this time, and it's amazing how many of these you get now. Of course, my generation has their their kids who are fans, and some of them are going to the school, and they have their parents and grandparents and generations of people who have just been rabidly connected to the program over time. And it's amazing to see. And I want to get into how do we think about harnessing that? So make that connection for the marketers out there to say, you've got this incredibly loyal fan base. How do we make a connection to a brand that can really leverage that loyalty in a genuine, authentic, appropriate way?
Yeah, well, it's certainly, as you said, to be genuine and authentic, it's not a one size fits all. Because what will work for one brand and the message they want to get out and the fan, even the segment within that fan base that they want to reach, you know, will lead to very bespoke conversations. So I'm going to speak in general terms about this, but I do think it comes down to, and it starts with an understanding of the fan base. There are over 180 million college sports fans, which actually makes it bigger than any professional league. And that multi-generational and community aspect makes it quite unique as well. And it's interesting, there's a stereotype, I think, in the marketplace that men are sports fans. But our research shows that 42% of sports fans are women. And that's probably understated because a lot of women's athletic programs aren't ticketed, or they don't do other things to actually capture the fan detail. So again, we have a big opportunity as an industry to make our data even more accurate, but that's only going to make that gender balance even more balanced, I believe. And it college sports attracts every age and stage from college students that are in the student section of the game day or participating in campus activities or just being part of the community and having, you know, whether or not they ever step foot at Boston College. If they live a stone's throw, they probably have a Boston College sweatshirt in the mix. And so when we think about, you know, everything from Gen Z and, you know, children all the way to what's happening, you know, in older generations as well, it's a pretty exciting thing. So when we think about sitting down with a brand and understanding what their marketing needs are, we do try to segment specifically who they're trying to reach. Maybe it's a local pizza place in the shadow of the stadium wanting to get more walk-in traffic. So they're marketing to a zip code or few. There are others, especially at the national level, that are wanting to attract certain audience types and certain DMAs, and we can bring that together for them and kind of a national program across multiple schools that represent that fan base and allow them to really genuinely participate in the community. And our research shows, and independent research shows, that brands that are visible, engaged, advertising, connected to somebody's favorite team or university, they get that halo effect. And those fans are more likely to try or buy products from brands that are connected to their favorite teams. It's you're part of the community then. And so that is very attractive. And that's what leads brands to think about college marketing and keeps them in the space.
I love that you touch upon the brand and the loyalty, because I think a segment that both the B2B and the B2C industries are always trying to encapsulate. And I mean, coming from your background at, you know, Honeywell, Forbes, Amazon, to now going to Learfield, you must have kind of seen these trends and patterns that you've been able to identify over your, you know, course of being a marketer. So what do those kind of look like as, I mean, from a brand or, you know, a loyalty level?
Well, I think you touched on it there. I've spent the majority of my career in a B2B role, and the B2C marketing that we do is the solution that we bring to our brand. So that's actually what we market. But my job is primarily to make sure that brand marketers know what we do and how we can help them. And when I think about the common thread in my career and maybe kind of what I've learned in the process, I think the first thing is You have to learn how to learn. And that is no different if you're jumping right into the steep end of a learning curve in a new industry, learning new products, new technologies. You know, certainly everyone who's listening to this podcast, they have a MarTech stack and tools available to them that didn't exist before. And the space continues to move and the best practices continue to shift. And so I have a colleague of mine who talks about college sports and says that there's a million minds figuring out how to win. And that's true of marketing as well. There are a million minds out there that are trying to figure out how to, you know, best connect with a prospect or to provide the best solution or to activate in a way that really meets the objectives of the client. And it's very dynamic. And now we can tap into those millions of minds. So kudos to all your listeners for trying to tap into those million minds and get smarter. I think to myself, like, we didn't have cookies. We did have cookies. Now we don't have cookies again. Hey, Peter, maybe that's our next book. Who moved my cookies?
Exactly. I think you're right. The follow-up for the cheese guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Exactly. So tell me a little bit, Jennifer, about how the NCAA rule change, which I'm super excited about, around the ability to compensate athletes who've been the product in college sports for a long time. How's that changed the way that marketers can think about engaging in sponsorship opportunities and marketing with some of these college sports programs?
I am so glad you mentioned this because I'm very excited about it as well. I think it's causing the whole industry to be innovative and think creatively. And those million minds that I mentioned earlier are focused on this. So we're still very much in the early days. The rule change just happened and some states instituted legislation on July 1st of next year or last year. So that was, again, a moment ago in the span of things. But there's already been a lot of experimentation, a lot of creativity and innovation applied to the space. I think the idea of student athletes getting the same empowerment, the same ability of every other student at the campus to be able to make money, to be able to utilize their talents, their social reach, their full set of assets, you know, to benefit financially is awesome. And I think it's time and it's a great thing for this space. As we consult with brands and schools, those being our primary audience, because we don't represent student athletes in all of this, we actively encourage brands to think about how they extend their sponsorship relationships with the schools, the trusted, you know, brand marketing that they've done to the fans, often over decades, and extend that with appropriate and thoughtful student athlete engagement. And we've seen some really interesting extensions of campaigns, you know, brands that are very important to a school and that fan base actually extending to become important to the student athletes and utilizing the voice and reach that those student athletes do to extend their message. And we've created some frameworks on the back end where our school partners can actually offer up their school marks and IP to those brand sponsors who want to put a student athlete, not just in a white t-shirt, but in their jersey or in their uniform in an advertisement or a campaign. So again, we're working behind the scenes to make sure that all the tools are in the toolbox to do this well and right into the future. One of the things I'm really excited about is that we have a part of our business. We provide lots of services to the industry. And one of them is we're the leading collegiate licensing company in the country. So we work with schools to help them manage and promote their brands and build their cachet in the marketplace among their fans. And so we have recently engaged in an agreement with One Team Partners. One Team is a company that represents professional players associations and has connections in the marketplace and has stepped in to the student athlete space. We've partnered with them to provide the app, we call it Compass NIL, that student athletes can use to opt in to things like having their name put on a jersey And Fanatics just announced that starting with a program for football and obviously extending beyond that over time, student athletes can opt in using the Compass NIL app that we provide. One Team Partners has negotiated that deal with Fanatics. And again, probably one of the most quintessential examples that was given of why student athletes should have rights to their name, image, and likeness was names on jerseys. And that's becoming a reality. So it's really exciting to see these foundational things being put into place. And that same individual opt-in system that allows student athletes to go in and look at opportunities for licensing their name, image, and likeness will extend to trading cards and video games and other things over time. So again, all these pieces, I think of NIL almost like a puzzle that's being put together piece by piece. And we're really excited to provide some of those pieces.
It's really great. And I love the idea of having some of these athletes being able to benefit from licensing their likeness and name and for the first time, which is exciting. So how do you think in that world, what do you think can be done to make sure that there's a more diverse representation, especially with some of the amazing female athletes in the NCAA as an example? How do you make sure that you're delivering that benefit as much as possible to some of those athletes versus just the top male athletes from the top Big Ten schools as an example?
Absolutely. Well, one of the things I'm really encouraged about, actually a couple of things on this front. One is that female athletes have disproportionate reach in non-traditional media channels like social. And often that's because a lot of the games, tournament play, and the like wasn't available on major broadcast. So the fan base is used to going to alternative platforms to see some of that or hear some of that or participate in that. And so we've actually seen, you know, some of the top athletes with social influence actually are female athletes, which is exciting to see. The second thing is a growing recognition and something that we're trying to shine a light on in the coming months and years is the impact and the attractiveness of the female sports fan. I mentioned that it's a big audience, but also they outpace national averages and pro teams for average household income. And their loyalty is expressed not only in buying licensed merchandise, but, you know, actively engaging with the brands that support their teams and their favorite athletes. So I think as brands become more aware that this college sports marketing and the NIL, you know, addition to that is a way to attract the fans and the consumers that they are going to want. There's a natural positive flywheel that's created here where it doesn't have to be forced or pushed by us. All we have to do is shine a light on it, and the brands themselves will be attracted to the audience they want to reach and the consumers and the households that they represent. So I see those two things as very positive, that the student athlete themselves has a great reach and the female fan is a very attractive audience. So those things are really powerful combination.
I had some amazing experiences with some women's college sports. And in particular, I was part of a program with my family that called Team Impact. And Team Impact, I don't know if you've ever heard of it, is a program.
Yeah, they're a partner of ours, actually.
Oh, good.
We do a lot of work with Team Impact.
So I'll give a plug for Team Impact because it's amazing.
Please do.
Team Impact is a program that matches kids who either have a disability or a life-threatening illness with college sports teams. And they basically draft them as sort of honorary members of the team. And my daughter, who has some disabilities, was connected with the Northeastern women's hockey program. And it was just an amazing relationship where for two seasons, she literally went to every home game. She was in the locker room with all the women. We had the entire women's hockey team over for dinner multiple times at my house. And it just created this amazing, enduring relationship. And the incredible thing is that these are amazing athletes, of course. And in fact, two of them are currently playing in the U.S. women's Olympic team, including Kendall Coyne and Haley Skimura. And Haley just scored a goal against, I think it was Finland the other night. So
that's amazing. Haley,
which is amazing. But it's interesting because the women's sports team in general, it feels like they work harder. And they work harder with these programs. They're more accessible. I mean, it was so deeply embedded. So you can imagine that if you're working as a brand sponsor, to have these amazing stories, these people who want to work with you, these teams that have amazing stories inside it, it just has to be an incredible opportunity to create that kind of engagement. And I wanted to ask you, Jennifer, about what are some of the more interesting or innovative kind of programs you've seen done with college athletic sponsorship in the time that you've been there at Learfield?
I love it. Well, thanks for sharing your experience with Team Impact. That's wonderful. We've seen, I feel like I've heard that story. Obviously, different teams, different students, but I feel like I've heard that story now dozens and dozens of times across the country. It's really exciting. So again, one last plug for Team Impact. If you are a parent, they are always looking for children to get involved in the program and be a part of that. If you are a coach or involved in an athletic program, they're always looking for teams to match these kids with. And there's lots of volunteer opportunities around the periphery. And so please be a part of Team Impact. That's amazing.
Put a link to that in the
Please do.
Show notes too, by the way.
Because it's actually something that we are actively engaged with Team Impact and our schools to increase the number of teams and the overall participation, because we just see it as it's a good thing in every way. And I love that it's given you literally a front row, you know, a locker room seat to how amazing student athletes are. Not only the talent that we see or hear about when we're watching their you know, gameplay, but the grit, the determination, the teamwork, the commitment to their communities, the giving back. I mean, all these things that those of us who have been engaged with the student athletes for a while know, now the world is getting to know in a bigger way, which is just amazing. And I think when we think about, going back to address your question, when we think about the kinds of programs that have been the most impactful, I think they mix head and heart in the way that we were just talking about. So we have, you know, programs with companies that are B2B marketers that use college sports marketing as a way to engage their employees, clients, prospective clients in hospitality. I recently saw a picture of, I won't mention the school just in case it starts a big trend. You could be the first in your community. Somebody actually, like, as part of the community, had their wedding on the field of their favorite college team. So again, like, hospitality experiences, you know, at the local level, both and at the tournament level, have been a very important part. So we've seen some really creative executions and activations of those kind of strategies for B2B companies that are using it to attract new talent to their organization, retain existing talent, and do the same on the client side. On the B2C side, on the consumer marketing side, we've seen, again, that mix of head and heart. One of our first sponsors for our esports tournament we call Level Next, a way to engage another set of fans in a growing, rapidly growing category of esports tournament play and engagement, was Unilever. And what they did, obviously a national consumer products brand, but they really emphasized some of their charitable programs and led with cause marketing. And again, so it's a wonderful opportunity for brands to be able to be very reflective on what they want to accomplish, the message they want to get to what audience, and tailor the activation details, the assets, the elements of the solution that we package together for them to meet that need. And there are thousands of examples of these kind of bespoke activations that again are tailored toward what that brand marketer is trying to accomplish in the short term and in the long term, because these are opportunities for long-term relationship building with the community.
Absolutely. Jennifer, and I can hear the passion in your voice, and it's truly remarkable. And it's great to hear kind of, you know, all of these progressions that they've been making on both the collegiate level, and obviously with March rolling around pretty soon. And I just have to dig into this because I'm curious myself. March Madness, right? I really want to talk about it. And I want to know kind of at a local level and a national level, like, what are you guys doing on a marketing perspective to get ready for the biggest tournament of the year?
Yeah, well, it's an exciting time of the year. It kind of splashes into the calendar and displaces a lot of other activities, that's for sure. So I should start off by saying that the NCAA itself runs point on sponsorship and promotion of their tournaments. So our role in that is really to support the schools that are participating, that are sending teams to competition, those that are doing well. We do that in, like, how much time do you have? I could list all the ways we do that, but really at the heart of it is providing updates to the fan base, connecting the fan base to what's happening in the tournament play, helping to facilitate those hospitality experiences I mentioned earlier for businesses who are using college sports marketing to attract and engage with their client base and the university itself. You know, so we work really closely in partnership with our schools to do that. The other thing I would say is that these conference championships, often fans just watching, you know, the games might not realize the context of those events, what's happening in the community. I was just at the CFP, the college football playoffs in Indianapolis, and the whole town is taken over, not just by fans. Fans are a big part of it, obviously, but it becomes a center point for the industry. So athletic departments, school administrators, and their staff are there to support their teams and learn from their peers. And there's lots of opportunities for them to connect kind of in the industry. And the same on the brand side. Brands are there not only to participate and observe their activations, but to connect with other vendors, partners. It's a planning event for the coming seasons. It's a chance to share best practices. And so in midst of this celebration of talent and accomplishment of these amazing student athletes, there's also like the business of it, which isn't just the advertising and sponsorship element, but the business of the industry of sports and making sure that we are equipping the industry to have a really positive and incredible season next year as well. And so it's been fun to kind of see behind the scenes and know all of the meetings and events that are going on to really benefit athletic directors, to benefit brands making brand decisions. Because again, we've pulled the industry together and everybody comes out of that not only exhausted, but hopefully inspired and better equipped.
It's great. So one of the things I was going to ask you, Jennifer, was about sort of getting engaged with this kind of a program for a brand for the first time. So one of the things I really like about many of the things that you've talked about is that there's so much depth in the potential to create a really immersive kind of program, because a college sports program is like, it's like a brand machine. Everything from the in-person experiences to the digital experiences to the kind of events you can do with the facilities, with all these things. It's just an amazing, multifaceted kind of thing. And we like to really encourage people to think very holistically about a marketing strategy and do campaigns that are quite immersive. That may feel intimidating to people at the beginning if they're not started. So how would you start? So how would you tell a marketer, I want to start, I want to dip my toe in the water of college sports marketing? What's a good way to get?
That's a good question. I think it starts where you indicated. A little curiosity goes a long way, and understand that they don't have to know everything or do it all themselves. You know, they don't have to come to a Learfield with a, here's what I want to do. They can come with a problem and hopefully a deep understanding of the problem they're trying to solve, the audience they're trying to reach, the message they want to get out, the launch that they're planning. If they can accurately describe the problem side, then, you know, Learfield, maybe their agencies and others can help create the solution to that. And so first of all, it starts by just having a conversation and saying, here's what I want to accomplish. Is this a set of tools that I can use to accomplish that? And you know, it may not be a fit, or it might be just what they needed, but only in conversation can you really uncover that. Of course, once you start thinking about this, you will see it everywhere. You will never be able to watch a, you know, college basketball tournament the same, or you'll never be able to, you know, show up at a women's hockey game quite the same, because your antenna will now be up to, oh, I see what the brand is doing over there. Oh, I see what's happening with these sponsored things in the student section. Or again, you'll be able to, you're adding to your own inspiration bank the more you do it. But a great place to start is having a deep understanding of what you're trying to accomplish, and let us help with the rest.
Yeah, start from your goal is always a useful thing to do, obviously, which makes sense. So how in the last couple of years, many people have had an accelerated digital transformation, obviously, and I assume that is the same in this domain. So obviously, there was a season interrupted or two where people had to go and sort of think very differently about the way they engage their audience. How has that changed the world of sports marketing in the last couple of years?
Well, I don't need to remind anyone of how disruptive the pandemic was to live events, to sports marketing, to the brands, school athletic departments, and the like. I know our family was so sports starved at one point. We were watching marble racing on YouTube. Again, like all of us had our own moments there. But like any industry, and as you said, it's been a time of reflection, a time of taking stock, a time of innovation, and acceleration of digital strategies. And I'm really happy to report that college athletics has not only weathered the pandemic through that innovation and creative thinking, but is coming out. I don't know. Can we say that we're emerging from stronger in so many ways? We were able to actually, through our ticketing business, actually ticket more games than any of the professional leagues, because there was still games going on. Now that moved to contactless ticketing, which was a huge innovation for many of the schools. Of course, the new health procedures for players and fans layered on top of how to engage fans when they're not in the stadium. And so we've seen when they're not in the stadium, they're not in the arena, they're not on the field, how can we get to that, you know, fan base in a meaningful way and make sure that they still feel the connection and engagement with their favorite teams and the brands that support them. And so what we have seen clearly is that fans don't just want to engage on game day. They want to engage every day. And we've seen a breakneck adoption of digital, social, programmatic assets, audio programming, original content development with brand integrations. All these things have grown disproportionately. And underlying all of that, we have been making a lot of strides and investment in really understanding the fan base. And we've built a platform for our schools. We call it Fanbase, very creatively named. And it is a data and analytics platform of their fans. And then we're able to aggregate that out so that a bank in Wisconsin can realize that there are more Wisconsin fans in California than there are in Madison. And perhaps they can extend their, you know, campaign and initiative beyond, you know, their local market if their product extends that far. We have seen some amazing national activations across the country utilizing that data where they thought they wanted to be in partnership with one particular college in a particular market, only to find out that the college across town was a better fit for them. So these are the kinds of consultative, getting in the data, rolling up our sleeves that we're able to do that we couldn't do at the beginning of the pandemic. And so it's very exciting to come out now and have conversations with brands, and our toolbox is much fuller, and the savvy with which we can help our brands pick the right tool for the right job is much more enhanced.
So have you seen any college programs do things that are really innovative to create their, to create sort of an interest or a movement in their program? And I think an analogous thing is what in minor league baseball, the Savannah Bananas is an amazing story. I don't know if you follow this, but the, where they've just created this, they created a completely different experience, changed the rules of baseball literally because baseball was boring for a lot of people. But have there been any college programs that have just done some really interesting, innovative things to sort of punch above their weight when it came to a brand reach and create a really interesting way to sort of expand the potential network of their program?
Yeah, there's a few that come to mind. One we talked about a little earlier, esports has been an interesting emerging category. Every school kind of treats esports differently. Sometimes it's a club, sometimes it's an intramural, sometimes it's part of a different academic department, sometimes it's student-led, sometimes it's part of athletics. But no matter where it is, again, there's an affinity to it and brand audience to reach. So we have seen schools lean into that, and we have both a national tournament, but we also have school level challenger events, we call them, that allow like players within that campus community and those that are, that follow them. So like, that's been an example of something that maybe wasn't even on the radar, you know, a decade ago, but is now very much part of these communities. I've also, there's so many examples of how colleges and brands have partnered in really interesting ways. I think I was just recently at a Wake Forest basketball game, and their mascot are the Demon Deacons top hat, bow tie kind of character. And there was a local financial institution who sponsored foam top hats for the entire student section, and they were all wearing foam top hats, and you know, those were taking over the campus. And again, it's like, it could be a little thing like that, or it could be a big thing like starting a whole new esports tournament on your campus. But I've seen like a realization, a wanting to lean in, a wanting to try some different things, and an openness to experimentation, which I think is just going to continue to accelerate innovation into the future.
Well, that's exciting. And I know there's some really interesting ideas. And when you unleash creative marketers on a new segment, and even if it's new for them, obviously college sports marketing isn't new, but certainly Learfield is an expert in helping you sort out how to get the most out of these kinds of opportunities. So it's been really exciting to have the conversation. Believe it or not, we're already against our time. And I think with that in mind, I think Kelsey probably has our last question. Before then, what should people do if they want to learn more about you or Learfield, Jennifer?
Well, certainly our website is a great place to start, learfield.com. And I would, if you are part of a college community, chances are we have staff on camp that are helping the athletic department every day connect brands and fans. And so if there's any connections that we can make, you'll see that on the website. For national brands and agencies, we have a staff dedicated to serving those needs as well. And so again, we're happy to make those introductions. On a personal side, I'm on LinkedIn. I'm Jennifer B. Davis. I'm with Learfield. And again, happy to connect and to be part of a community and learn from all of you.
Perfect. Well, last question, Jennifer, of this episode, what advice would you give to those that are CMOs or aspiring to be one someday?
Well, if you'll forgive my soapbox, I feel like this is the speech that I like to give when I'm asked this question. And that is, you, over time, you need to think of yourself not only as a marketer, but as a business leader and a business person. And those who aspire to and ascend to the CMO roles or the vice president or senior vice president of marketing roles, it's because they not only represent functional excellence, they know their stuff and they can represent marketing, but they have a higher calling then, and that is to help shepherd the business. And how those even early in their careers can help set the foundation for that and be prepared for those, that kind of responsibility is make sure that you know how score is kept in your business. It's very easy for marketers to focus on marketing metrics, some of which can descend into vanity metrics, as I'm sure you've talked about in your podcast before. But beyond conversion rates and attribution rates and things that marketers care about, the return on investment of campaigns and the like, it's very important to understand how those metrics ladder up to the things that your senior most executives care about, your shareholders, other stakeholders care about. And the better you are at reading financial statements, the better you are at translating the activity that you're doing to revenue growth and profit growth, not only the more opportunities you're going to have, the more investment you're going to be given to shepherd, but you're going to have a seat at this table because you're going to be seen as somebody who can really champion the business needs, not just the functional needs of marketing. So that's my counsel. Know how the score is kept and make sure that you're not just a great third baseman, but you know how to put points on the scoreboard.
I think your answer was music to both of our ears, and you must have read the next CMO book, or we'll send one your way.
Awesome.
Thank you so much for your time, Jennifer. Make sure to follow The Next CMO and Plana on Twitter and LinkedIn. And if you have any ideas for topics or guests, you can email us at thenextcmo@plana.com. Have a great day, everyone. Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks, Jennifer.
Thanks for having me.